自由。
Good morning. Roy mentioned to me a second ago that the Staleys just left to go check with Dave's father in Bend, who's in the hospital. It was announced earlier during the service. And so before we start, let's have a word of prayer for their family. God, we thank you this morning for the Staleys, who are such a big part of what we do here at the church at Eugene. We ask that as they are traveling to be with Dave's dad, that they will have safe travel over to Bend. And for those who are caring for him in Bend, that they can make the right decisions medically to help him along. As that family comes together, just such a tough time after having such a difficult time not very long ago in the loss of Dave's mom. Help them to be encouraged, to find peace. And if there are things that can be done to help Dave's dad, help those things to happen. We thank you for just such a great example of 73 years of marriage, such an unusual story in our world today. And we ask that each of us can try to strive to be more like that in our own relationships. Please again be with Dave's dad this morning as he's dealing with so many health issues and help him to recover. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning again. Good to be with you. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad that you're here. Something's going on in our country today, some kind of game or something, that's got everybody's minds in that direction at least. Unless it's not one of your teams, then you might not care quite as much. You're just curious what the funny commercials are going to be tonight. A few things to announce as we're getting started. One, the group that meets over at the Borman's place is meeting at our place today, and we are going to have a Super Bowl gathering a big game gathering. I'm not allowed to use the copyrighted words. Don't anyone sue me. Edit that out later, Mike. the big game gathering over at our place. I told everybody 4:30 because I apparently looked at the game in Mountain Time instead of Pacific Time. It starts at 3:30. So if you were planning for 4:30, you're going to miss part of the game. Come over at 3:30. And then we're going to do our normal small group stuff during halftime because that's never any good anyway. And then we'll get back to the game after that. Also, we have our Super Bowl going on out here. I can say that one because it's Souper, where we are bringing things to refill our benevolent pantry. And if you, like a lot of us probably do, forgot to bring that, we are here tomorrow. You are welcome to come and bring it by tomorrow. We'll wait and count after lunchtime tomorrow. So theoretically, it can still count towards our big total. But it's a great reminder of there are folks out there who are in need. And as we are in this big money time of year with sports and entertainment and all that stuff, there are so many who are going without. And so this will be a great opportunity to help them out. A couple other things to mention. Leland and Beth are great grandparents again, or is it great-great? I lose track nowadays. Joe Beaver, their grandson, and his wife had a baby in New Mexico yesterday. Arrow Jane was born, and so they are excited folks, have an extra smile on the face today. And also I was reminded as I was thinking about that this morning, love hearing the babies around here. It makes me happy. I know it freaks people out when they're trying to get bottles ready quickly and all that stuff, but as a church family, you can either have that sound or not have that sound. And given the two options, I like having that sound because it means that we are growing as a family. It means that there are folks young enough around us to have kids, which is kind of nice. If it's my family, I don't know if I'm quite as excited about that, but anyhow, it's good to know that we're still growing. It's good to, if you weren't with us last Sunday, we're a little less than last Sunday, but not terribly less. Last Sunday, we had enough folks that I had at least three conversations during the week that were not started by me, by the way, because this is the way I like to think, asking, do we have more chairs somewhere? Do we need to buy more chairs? Do we know where the chairs came from and what they cost? All those kinds of things. And I thought, how great to have to talk about that. How great that we, you know, have this this great facility, but that there's still space as we can continue to grow, and it's just a good time to be here and be a part of this church. So if you're not recognizing that, or if you've looked around and thought, well, it does seem like there's been more people around lately, there have been. And we're not always the greatest at reminding ourselves of that, but God is truly blessing us, I think, as a church, and it's been a good time to be around here. All right, one other thing to remind you of before we get started, our youth rally is coming up 2 weeks from this weekend. We will be gathering here with a whole bunch of teenagers, learning about love and how love looks in our lives, and not the kind of love that they're used to hearing about, but the kind of love that God wants to teach them about. And that should be a good weekend. If you're able to keep guys in your home, ponder on that one for a minute. If you're able to keep guys in your home, teenage guys that are clean and neat and organized and will not eat any of your food or something like that, contact Denise Foreman, and she will be glad to make use of you there. Also, if you are helping with the rally, and you have done this in years past, this is the first year since we've been doing the rally that we have been doing background checks and all that. Be sure to have that done before you come to help out with the rally, because we want to make sure everybody is safe and secure and all that stuff. And we know, I know every time I do the thing that I'm just clicking buttons for nothing because it's going to come back clean and always does. But it's good to have assurances for the parents who send their kids 2-3 hours away from home to stay in somebody else's home or in someone else's building to know that they are safe here. And I know as a parent, when I send my kids somewhere, I like to know that too. So we're trying to provide that for parents. Be sure to do that. If you don't know how to do that, you can also contact Denise and she can point you in the right direction, send you links and all that stuff. All right. Sorry about all that. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Now, I will be honest with you, for at least 3 weeks of this series in James, I feel like I have been beating the same drum. If I'm allowed to beat a drum in here, I know we're non-instrumental, so maybe a different analogy would be good. But I feel like I'm preaching the same message a few times, and I realize that at least part of that is because James brings up an idea a few times. And I will be completely honest with you that of all the things we talk about, this is probably one of the ones that makes me the most uncomfortable. And I have mentioned several times to you that I have always thought we should take the pretty ironwork down back there and put a mirror up so I can be reminded that I'm talking to me too. Because especially this morning, I'm talking to me too. I am not a wealthy man. Now, I will say to you very clearly, you guys are kind to me. And as an eldership or whoever in a committee decided early on what I would be compensated for being here, I got no complaints. And I feel very blessed to be a part of this. At the same time, the way our world looks at wealth, I am never going to get wealthy doing this. You will never see me on TV on a Sunday morning with an ultra-white smile that sparkles and all of those things, with my private jet and all of, you know, that's not me. That's not who I'm going to be. I will admit to you, though, all of that sounds really cool. The idea of having a staff of people that answer to me, the idea of getting on Facebook and seeing someone in another part of the country with a quote that I made here 3 weeks ago that's gradually made its way around. The idea of people coming to me and saying, we'd like you to speak for this giant thing, and we want to pay you lots of money to do it. All of those things sounds really cool. I think of these guys that a lot of us will watch in a game later today, ramming into each other for a couple hours and throwing a ball around, and the amount of money that they make that most of us will never comprehend. And when I think of wealth, usually I like to think in those terms. And the reason I like to think in those terms is because that's not me. Because it's easy for me to point at all of those people and say, ah, the wealthy. The wealthy and all their problems. And we are in that season politically right now. It seems like we've been in that season for eternity at this point. But we're in that season politically where a lot of folks like to point their fingers at the wealthy. And what they want you to think when you're thinking wealthy is somebody that's not you. Somebody that's wealthier than you are. Now, I think most of the people around the world would look at us today and say, you folks are pretty wealthy. I saw a picture not too long ago of people worshiping, I believe it was in the Philippines, and they had a flood in their town, and they were in an outdoor church that was basically just a frame and a roof, and they were standing in knee-deep water worshiping. And I thought, you know, padded chairs, air conditioning, heat, whatever it is we need, we got it pretty good. when it comes down to it. The cars we come in this morning that we're not overly concerned about breaking down between where we got from and where we got here. The homes we will go to, the things we will eat today, we've got it pretty good. But our struggle comes in when we start to put our trust in those things, which is what James is going to talk to us about. And then as we start to put our trust in those things, as it changes how we see the world. And that's where it really starts to hit home with us. So beginning in verse 1 of James chapter 5. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Now, you hear the first few words of that verse, and you hear, now listen, you rich people. And for a lot of us, there's a temptation that's a point to tune out. Because he's not talking to us. He's talking to rich people. And like I said, rich people are people that have just a little bit more than you do or way more than you do. Rich people are people that don't care about price tags. Rich people are people that don't care about what the car costs. It's just they want the car. What the house costs, they just want the house. And you can't comprehend living that kind of life. So rich people is not you. But sometimes rich people, that is us. We are people that get too caught up in the idea of wealth. And it's either that we're focused in on the what we have, or we're focused in on the what we wish we had, or maybe what we once had. Some of us have seen the gas prices coming down over the last week, and you're excited when you fill your car up. Others of you have seen the gas prices coming down, and you immediately go look at your 401k statement. And you think, something is not right here. Things are about to fall apart. And you start to get worried because we put our trust in these things. And when those things take a hit, sure, we're going to notice. But is that where our trust is put? And so he says, listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. These things are going to testify against you. All this stuff that you have, it corrodes, it rusts, the moths eat it, it is temporary, and it goes away. And if you don't take care of it, it goes away faster. And so what you find is all these things that we begin to really put our trust in, the things that we really think are important, the things that matter, they gradually fade away. And they testify, and James is going to come back to this concept a few times throughout this chapter, that there are these things that we have done or put our trust in or things that we have shown to be more important in our lives, and each of them is a witness to what it is that we are doing and how it is that we are living. Now, I think for most of us, we don't do this consciously. I don't consciously think to myself, I'm going to go to my bank account and see what that number is, and I am putting my trust in that number. I don't consciously think to myself that the most important thing in the world to me is this house or this car or this thing or these possessions or the 401k or whatever it might be, but sometimes that is what my life is showing. Because those are the things I get excited about, and at the same time, those are the things that scare me half to death. And it's natural. That's why James is talking about it. He continues on, look, the wages you failed to pay, the workers who mowed your field are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. We like to talk about this in our world a lot. And I will admit to you, right on the front end, I don't like this word. Because I feel like this word has gotten out of control. It is never going to be 100% fair in our world. I hate to be the one to break it to you this morning. It's never going to be completely fair. And we can try to put in as many false things as we can to level the playing field, and it's never going to be completely level. I'm going to watch this big game today. I'm a Broncos fan. I haven't mentioned this nearly as much as Alabama along the way. I've liked the Broncos since I was a kid. John Elway was a quarterback. I loved the way he played. He was fun to watch. And he made me into a Broncos fan. I think we're going to lose badly today. And if you're a Broncos fan, I apologize. And I don't want that to be true. I will be wearing my jersey. I will be rooting. I think we're going to lose badly today because I think the other guys are just better. And sometimes that's the way the game goes. it's not fair the way it is set up. Some of us have been in jobs and workplaces where there are clearly people that are way up high and people that are way down low. When we were in the hospital not terribly long ago, I noticed that they put on the patients in the Riverbend Hospital, they put on the patients these little tracker things so that wherever you're at in the hospital, they can locate you so they don't lose patients, because that's bad. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I feel more secure knowing that's there and that my wife is not laying on a random gurney somewhere and no one knows where she's at. And then I noticed two of the nurses that walked in also had them on. And I thought, oh, this is not because they're afraid of losing a nurse. They want to know where the nurses are and if they're actually working and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if I was a nurse, I'd be irritated by that. Now, I know there's a small safety aspect of it, but you know that there's somebody in a room with a computer screen going, she's been in the break room a long time. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Doesn't seem fair that there's always these people that are high up and these people that are down low, and we spend so much time trying to even that out, but what we don't realize is we all, wherever we are at in life, will find ourselves in one of those roles. And I have been in both of them. Now, I will tell you, the ones where I am at the low end of the totem pole, I see those much more clearly. I worked in a job where I was making $7 an hour. And part of my job was to print the checks for everyone else. And I got to see what the other checks said. And I remember printing some of those checks that had five figures on them when mine was very, very small, and thinking to myself, this is not fair. I watch how those people work, I watch how I work, and there's something that's not quite right here. And when we're on that end of things, we get very frustrated. But I'll tell you where else we find ourselves is on the high end of things. Now, you may not see it that way, but when you're at a restaurant eating and that waiter or waitress is dependent on what you're going to put with that check, you are now on the high end of things. When that kid comes to your door wanting to mow your lawn and you're looking for a bargain, you're now on the high end of things. When that tray comes by, maybe we should have done this at the end today instead of in the middle. When that tray comes by, it's all up to you as to what you're going to do or not do. We have a lot of situations in life where we find ourselves on the high end. And my question to us is, when we are there, do we treat other people the way we want them to be treated when we're here? And I think if we step back and really look at it, we're not going to always be excited by what we find. Because sometimes when we get to be here, we become Scrooge. And we want to keep as much as we can possibly keep, not realizing that that small little whatever is going to mean so much more to the next person. I saw a guy yesterday on Facebook. He was his 40th birthday. And one of the things he wanted to do to celebrate was to give back. And so he got a $40 Starbucks gift card. And he scanned it and put it on Facebook. And he said, here I'm celebrating, get yourself a coffee on me today. And when you get it, just come back and put what the balance is so everybody will know where we're at with this thing. And I thought it was really cool that the first two people that posted on it, the question was, can we add to it? Kind of neat. And for some of us, we would look at that, and I thought to myself, how many people are looking at this right now thinking, I have the Starbucks app on my phone. That's how bad a junkie I am. I have a Starbucks app on my phone. I could scan his card in right now, add the 40 to my account, and I'm good for the next several weeks. What a bad move that would be to do. And yet anybody looking at his Facebook right now could do it. Or on the flip side, maybe somebody's going to want to add to it and do something good. Maybe somebody's going to go get a cup of coffee to honor what he's trying to do. What do we do? How different are we when we're on the top versus when we're on the bottom? And we should be the same people. But I don't know that we always are. Continuing on, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. We live lives of luxury. And again, I know we could all stop right now and we could take the microphone around and we could trade stories of whose house is junk and whose house is really nice, of whose cars are not the best and whose cars are way too shiny. We could talk about bank accounts. We could talk about whatever you want to talk about. But in the end, I think you will find that we serve a Savior who, once he gets out of childhood, we have no record of him having a home. He goes from place to place. He has a couple of home bases that are kind of the towns he works out of. In each of those places, he has a family he stays with. That is the life he lives in his adult ministry. And I start to look and I think, man, that apartment doesn't seem too bad now. I'd rather it be a big house, but the apartment doesn't seem too bad now, does it? The idea that we have vehicles to most people would be foreign. The idea that the choice is not where are we going to find food or how are we going to find food, but whether we want to actually cook it today or let somebody else do that. What kind of food? From what part of the world? We in our household are planning what snacks will we have as we watch the game today. We live, relatively speaking, lives of luxury. And I love the imagery that James uses here of we're fattening ourselves up for the slaughter. Now, I don't really love that imagery because that thought's not all that pleasant. But in a lot of ways, that's what we're doing. As those animals are being fattened up, it seems like a pretty good life until the slaughter comes along. And then not so much. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Now, we would look at this and say, we've not murdered anybody, and we've had those kind of discussions before, but by the things that we do, we are condemning people to a more difficult life. I heard somebody say this week that they thought the government shouldn't have any programs to take care of the poor. And immediately there were a lot of people that jumped the guy that said that. And he allowed that to happen. And several people jumped in first, a group of Christians that were having this conversation. And then he finally said, think of how many people in the world call themselves Christians, would identify in that way. If all of those people are as serious about the poor as Jesus is, do you think we would still need government programs to take care of the poor? And then everybody was kind of quiet for a minute. And you start to realize that we're not living this out in the way that we should all the time. Now, I know we all live this at different levels. And some of us can do much more than others, and I get that. But are we doing anything? Because what really strikes me as I thought about it feels like I've preached this 3 times in the last couple months. James keeps coming back to this idea. Jesus keeps coming back to this idea. And so many times they attach it to the idea of judgment. And here are 2 brothers who grew up in the same house who are really big on this idea of the need to help the poor. And then attaching it to, if you don't, the bad that happens that comes with that, I don't know that I always attach it to those ideas. I think it almost feels like an optional thing at sometimes. Or that I should wait around for the Super Bowl to come, the Super Bowl to come, and then we'll take care of it then. But there's still folks in need in March and April and May. Are we going to take this seriously all the time? Because if not, we are condemning people to something that is so much less than the life that we live. Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 6. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, who will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, who will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Woe to you who are so caught up in all of the great things of now and how much we have and are missing the bigger picture. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Because so many times we want to put ourselves on the lower side of that, but so many times we find ourselves actually quite a bit higher. And Jesus would say to us, remember what's important. Remember who you are. And then he says it this way in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's what it all comes back to. We've talked about a lot. If you've not been a part of our Wednesday night studies lately, I really feel like you're missing out. And not because it's me, but because Randy Harris in this video series is bringing us these 15-minute just gems every week of how to see things in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the ideas he's come back to several times is, it's about our heart. It's about where our focus is. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. Where the things we really value, the things we really find to be important, that's where our heart is. I guess Leland and Beth's heart, as much as it is here with us this morning, is in New Mexico a little bit right now too. Clearly, the Staley's heart is over in Bend right now. And when those things happen, when it's the incredible joys or the really difficult things, then we can see it. But the problem is, I don't know about you, I don't want just a series of that for my life. I don't want incredible highs and lows all the time. Some days of life are just going to be kind of mundane. And where is our treasure then? Where is our heart then? And this morning, if it's not on the things of God instead of on the things of this world, then you're missing out. If my team loses as badly today as I think they're going to, my life goes on tomorrow. And it's okay. And even if I'm on that team, and as hard as it would be to be a member of that team and to do that, it goes on tomorrow. Whatever your 401k statement says when you get it in the mail this week, life goes on tomorrow. Where is our treasure? And I think in God, that's the beautiful part of this whole story, because His treasure is right here. He loved the people in this room enough that He gave His Son up for us. And in rooms just like this all over the world this morning. Because the statement of God's heart is, I could have anything. I could create anything. I am over everything. I am in everything. And I care enough about you that I'm not going to give you up. And what He would like from us in return is for us to see Him that way and for us to see each other that way. And this morning, if you don't, I think probably most of us struggle with that. Most of us have a hard time not getting maybe a little too excited about the great stuff. Most of us have a little too much time not getting too down about when things are going too bad. And God says, I'm here through all that. This morning, if you're not a part of the family, this family is growing, and we're excited about that, and we would love to see you be the next member of it and to be a part of things. If you don't have a relationship with God this morning, He would love to see you buried in the waters of baptism, rising to walk a new life, and then joining this struggle with us, where some days we get it right, and other days we're just trying, but we're getting there. And if you're a member of this family and you struggle with this, and we can pray, we'd love to do that. If there's any need you have this morning, please come while we stand and sing.